Ruth chapter number 1, I'm going to read the first 6 verses. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her 2 sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread." Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Father, Lord, I just want to tell you thank you again for allowing us, Lord, to gather. Lord, if you don't do something here tonight, Lord, nothing will get done. Lord, we know we're nothing. You are everything, dear Lord. We're low and you're high, dear Lord. We know nothing. You know everything. Lord, we claim no wisdom of our own, dear Lord. We need wisdom from you. We ask it, Lord. Your word says we can. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you would help through your words tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us to leave out of here different than we were when we walked in. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, if somebody's lost, they come to be saved. Lord, somebody's out of fellowship with you, dear Lord. I pray, dear Lord, tonight will be the night that they renew that fellowship, Lord, and get back with you. Get the service, Lord, and fight the good fight of faith, Lord. And I just ask that you do something tonight. We ask all these things. Precious name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk to you tonight on directions on persistence out of some things out of this whole chapter here. And before I get into it, I want to say this right here. I looked and kind of thought about some illustrations on about somebody coming back after they've been out of fellowship or something like that. But I kept coming back to the book of Luke, chapter number 15, the prodigal son. What happens is you get out of fellowship with the Lord, and it's a slow fade getting out of fellowship with the Lord, and you sear your conscience, and you sear your conscience, and before long you're doing things that you think's all right that the Bible says is wrong. And you're out of fellowship with the Lord. You've seared your conscience, and you're just there, and you're just going through the motions. You've got a form of godliness, and you think you're right, and everybody else is wrong, and you're the only one that knows how to do right, and you're the only one that knows what really is right, and you know, and I know how they are, you know. But we know how you are, too. The thing is, the prodigal son, Luke chapter number 15, you got to realize something about him. He left the father's house and may as well have wished his daddy was dead, because he said, "Look, I want all my inheritance right now." You don't get your inheritance until the dad's dead. And he said, "I want it all right now." Well, guess what? He got it. And he went out and he stayed out. And the Bible said he came to himself. That's amazing. And he said, "I'll go back." Well, at least he kept his word. But you know what? The people nowadays, they got the heroes wrong. The prodigal son's not the hero. Who is the hero? The father is the hero.
Yeah.
He's over here waiting on the prodigal son to come back.
Amen.
You know that's a picture of the father.
Yeah.
Here you are. You're out of fellowship with God. And you know what? If God treated us like we want to treat other people, you know what we do? We'd be just like disciples. "Lord, will thou at this time we command fire to come down from heaven and just devour us?" Lord, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. You don't realize, you know, and that's why God don't give us those powers like that. Why you abuse them? You just strike everybody down. Thank God He don't treat us like that.
Amen.
But you know what happened to me? I thank God that the prodigal son knew didn't have a whole lot of things that we've got going on today. You know what? If it had been today, we'd give him a hot meal, and we'd give him some shoes and everything else, and said, "Don't you worry about it. You're just doing fine. Don't let anybody tell you about sin. Don't let anybody tell you doing anything wrong. You just stay right there. The hog pen's all right." You know what's happening? People's air conditioned the hog pen for folks.
Amen.
Sometimes the best thing that can happen to you or some of your loved ones is hit rock bottom.
Right.
You know what happens? So many people nowadays make it comfortable.
Right.
And you don't realize you're just aging abetting people in their sin.
Right.
And you know what? Here comes the prodigal son. The prodigal comes back. And the father's waiting on the prodigal.
Lord.
And he comes back, man. Thank the Lord, he comes back. But you know what? All the things that the prodigal was thinking was not there. He thought the place was a prison. He thought home was a prison. Turned out it was something to set him free. It was a palace. He goes out of here and here's the prodigal son. Everything he wanted, love, was there back at the house.
Amen.
Money that he wanted was there back at the house of the father. Provision was there back at the Father. Protection was there back at the Father. Promise was back there at the Father. He said, let's just begin to be married. Why? When he came back home. Now you know what you've got this story right here with Ruth? You've got somebody who goes out.
They go out. Now I want you to see something in this text here. Hopefully it'll be something to help. Now I thank the Lord we got the Bible. Why? It's good to learn from the mistakes of others. Why? You don't have time to make them all yourself. You're supposed to learn from mistakes. Don't make them all yourself. I want you to notice the time here. Notice the time that she went out. Or they went out as a family. Now, the verse 1 says that it was a famine. It was a famine. Now, I want you to hold your place in Ruth. And let's put this down here in everyday life here. Look at Amos chapter number 8 with me. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Sometimes I have to call them out to find them. I thought one night, I got so excited preaching one night, I thought he had Habakkuk, my Bible. I turned back and forth that thing and while I was trying to get going, I just couldn't get going. I said, where's that Habakkuk at? And I had to start calling the books out and find it. But I want to tell y'all something here. There was a famine. Notice the time. The time. Now, you know whenever you're growing in your Christian walk, is this right here. Everybody wants it easy. Everybody wants it easy all the time. I told you the other night, it was Goliath got hit in the head with a smooth stone. Sometimes you need it rough. You don't need it smooth all the time. You need God to get you through the rough times. Why? So you can at least say, look, God, only God got me through that time. Sometimes things dry up and they just want to quit on God. Does God ought to be able to trust you when things are bad?
That's right.
Why? Because a little bitty baby, you know what a baby does? A baby's crying. I'm uncomfortable. I'm hot. I'm cold. I'm not turning. You know what happens? Yes, whenever you're a baby in Christ, yes. God, a lot of times you'll see God all the seems like this all the time. He's right there with you, right there with you. Answering prayers left and right. You get that Bible's just fresh and it's good. And guess what happens? Sometimes you get a little bit older and He don't have to keep up with you so much. He ought not have to. You ought to grow past that moment. Just because he's not pampering you doesn't mean he don't love you. The other son was all there all the time and he felt like he was in love. Guess what? The other son, he stayed, but guess what? In his heart, he was gone. You know what? A lot of people are like that. A lot of people are like the other son. Lord, I ain't never done nothing. You're right. You're exactly right. You've been here and you ain't done anything else. You come to church and you think you've done God a favor because you've come to church. Y'all, we get that attitude like that. You know what happened? What else are you doing besides coming to church? You ever thought about that? Some people, that's just what we do around here, you know. We come to church.
Come on.
Man, it's a famine, man. I'm telling y'all. You get talking to some people, they can talk to you about Walmart, they can talk to you about Facebook, they can talk to you about stuff on the internet, they can talk to you about it, but they can't talk to you about the Bible.
Right.
Can you talk about God? Now, you think about it. I'm not trying to stomp you in the head, I'm trying to get you to think. When was the last time you talked about the Lord Jesus Christ outside of church?
Right.
When was the last time you witnessed to somebody? When was the last time, just think about this in your mind. You say, I'm a Christian and I'm serving Christ. When was the last time you witnessed? Just think about it. Are you in a family? Think about it. Are you dry right now?
Some people just dry as cracker juice in your right pocket. Man, thank God we ought to be able to respond, man. You talk to some people about the Word of God and they just look at you like a truthful owl. What? Y'all, thank God we can have a good time around the Word of God. Let me tell you, if you can't have fun around the people of God and the things of God, you've got a problem. You're in a famine. Some people, they're so far off from God. Hey, you know, Samson, he was strong, man. Yeah, he was strong. The Bible said he wished not the Lord had departed from him.
Yeah.
He just thought God was there. You know what happened? He laid his head down in the lap of the world, Goliath, and the Bible said it cut off 7 locks of her hair. Why did it say 7? My, picture that book right there. Purified 7 times and
Psalms 12, verse 7.
That's right, bro.
7 is connected with perfect all through that Bible. You know, that's a picture of a strong church or a strong Christian laying his head down in the lap of the world and getting the Bible cut out of their life. And they thought, I'm still close to God. No, you're not.
Right.
You're abandoned.
Right.
If you don't desire that bread or that word right there, you're not being hungry, you're in a famine. You're dry. You're backslidden and you're out of fellowship with God, don't even realize it. And you don't want nobody to tell you about it.
Don't confuse me with the facts now. Man, I'm just telling you. Man, it'll help you. Man, realize it. Realize it like the prodigal did. Now listen to this famine right here.
Amos 8:11 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, not physical bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Now watch this. "And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to west. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it."
Now, it didn't say the word was going to pass away. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words won't pass away.
Amen.
You've got the words, but guess what happened? Nobody to hear it.
Right.
You know what they want? Tickle my ears, please. Yeah. Talk to a lady that I just love that smooth preaching. She said, "I like when somebody makes me feel good." Man, I'm gonna tell you something. That's the devil right there.
Yeah.
Why? Because look, don't go by your feelings. Go by the facts of the Word of God.
Right.
You know what the Lord will do sometimes? The Lord will wrap the truth in a strange package just to see how you take it. And people like a nice wrapper, you know. Here comes John the Baptist out there preaching the truth. He's got a jar of honey under one hand, a locust hanging out of his mouth, and he's going through here just a preaching, man. And they say, "I don't like that." And the Lord said, "What did you come out here just to see a reed shaking in the wind? Oh, I'm going to tell you about sin here, because I didn't mean to mention sin." Like he's just scared to death, you know. And he said, "You want to come out here and see somebody in soft rabbit?" He said, he come preaching. You know, I tell you what, when you get to where you can handle the truth, God will show you something. You know what happens? The Lord said, He come in here and He sent light, but people didn't want the light. Why? That their deeds would be exposed.
Yeah,
get to where you don't mind your flesh being cut back some.
Amen.
I think about the flesh. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, all flesh is grass. Yeah. And you know when grass looks its best, when you can't even hardly see it, you got to keep it cut. You got to keep that grass cut, man. What happens? You got to take the sword of the Word of God and cut that flesh back every day. Why? Much study is a weariness to the flesh.
That's right.
You want to get your flesh down? Start studying that Bible every day. It's a command to study. I just read a little bit. It's a command to study to show thyself approved unto God.
Amen.
That's not just somebody just asking. What I'm saying is a famine there. There was a famine for hearing there, and they left.
You know what happens? Some people, if the slightest little thing makes them mad in church, the slightest little thing, well, they didn't shake my hand.
Come on.
Well, y'all, they didn't shake your hand when you walked into Walmart. You still going to Walmart.
I just don't like the way she looked at me, doesn't it? You see how she... Yeah. Well, they did that at Walmart, too. You still going in there. I didn't like that song she sang. Well, they sing devil music up in the stores all the time, and you still go back through there all the time.
Go to these gas stations, and these people got their pants pulled about halfway down. The music's in the trunk, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. You know what I do? I pull up right beside them. I can do it, yeah. I just turn my gospel up like this right here. Just, well, it's where, man. Why? The Bible said the righteous are bold as a lion. You know what's happening? So many folks are so scared. You're scared. I'm not saying being mean to anybody. But, yo, this world, this old, that's for the devil, they're just wide open out here. You know what the Christians are doing? I'm supposed to be meek. No. You know what? The meekness is not weakness.
Right.
The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ, His own self, He said He was meek and lowly. He comes in here and He gets a whip and drives them out. The money changer died. Now look now. That's not the picture of Jesus that you see in some of these little blonde haired, blue eyed Jesus. That looks like the Antichrist. Jesus was a tough man.
Amen.
Jesus was a Jew. Jesus walked around in the sand. Jesus had dark skin. And Jesus was a worker. You know what happens? You know what's going to be, folks? They just soft.
Right.
That we've gotten so soft in walk nowadays. Why? People don't have dirty hands anymore.
Right.
That's why their hearts are dirty. They just, they're mind, man, the mind. What happens? You've got to work for the Lord. Now, you know, we say,
Well, what's the Bible say? Well, the Bible says you're supposed to be a soldier. A soldier. Now why does he say that? Because a soldier has a drill sergeant up there going, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you need to do the other thing. And you imagine the soldier say, I didn't want him hollering at me. He made his voice. You know what happens? People nowadays, they take preaching the wrong way. Thank God y'all like some preaching. That's a blessing. Why so many people are so thin-skinned, a mosquito can fly right through the thing without breaking a wing. And just thin-skinned. Man, friends, we're supposed to be soldiers in an army. Here you are trying to help somebody. You know what the Bible says about false prophets? They're wolves in sheep clothing. You know what a preacher is? A preacher is a sheep in wolf clothing. Why? He's out there. He's trying to be like a wolf. Preparing you for the wolves. Why? Wolves coming among you.
Right.
You know, people say, I'm worried about the hypocrites in church. I ain't worried about the hypocrites in the church. Why? They're on good behavior. I'm worried about the hypocrites outside the church. My. In here, y'all on y'all's best behavior. Some of these people are saying, now, Brother Chase, I've been going to church for you. You give me a good reference. All I know is when you're on your best behavior. You have to watch that stuff. I'll give somebody a good reference if I see them serving Christ outside of church. Don't call somebody with a reference to me if all I'm doing is seeing you in here. I'm seeing you on your very best behavior. Praise you, Jesus. You know. Can you say praise Jesus outside around other folks that know you? Can you say praise Jesus outside and see what they think about it? There's a famine is what I'm saying. They left out in a famine there for hearers. You're lacking hearers. Man, get to where you love to hear God's Word. I'll tell you what I recommend. I can't even move to the next point. I'll tell you what I recommend. Get that Bible out sometimes when you can't read it and listen to it. Hear it. Come in there. Hear the Word of God. Get to where you love God's Word. Why? Now ye are clean to the Word which I have spoken unto you. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy Word is truth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to the Word of God. You're supposed to cleanse your way by the Word of God. That Word is a cleansing agent. Now you take a bath every day. Why? So your flesh won't stink. You need to take a bath in the Word of God every day. Now you wonder, you take 2 or 3 days and you haven't read your Bible and you wonder why you start stinking spiritually. You wonder why you're so mad. You wonder why you're getting disgruntled. You wonder why you're depressed and things like that. Now, I realize some people get like that sometimes. But I'm saying that that Bible is what's cleaning you up. That Bible is keeping your mind sane. Jesus Christ is the incarnate Word of God. And here's that maniac of Gadara. He comes up and the Bible says that when he got at the feet of Jesus, he was clothed and what? In his right mind. It'll make your mind right. You know what's happening? So many people rejected truth and the bolts come unloosened up there. That thing will keep you sane, keep you right. Keep you right. There was a famine for hearing. And guess what happened? This man right here led his family. And in verse 1, you're going to find out he went out. He stayed longer than he ever expected. Stayed longer. The old saying is sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go, cost you more than you ever willing to pay, and keep you longer than you ever willing to stay. Lot is the perfect example. You know what the Bible says one of these days, the judgment seat of Christ, some people are going to be saved yet so as by fire. What's that mean? That's just like Lot. Here comes the fire, the light. Yes, the Bible says in the New Testament he was a just man, saving just Lot, that righteous man. Yes, he was right with the Lord in the Old Testament sins, but guess what happened there? Everything he had burned. You know what, there's going to be a lot of folks get up there and they got saved. Yeah, they got saved. And they sit and they soak and they sour. And they get up there at the judgment seat of Christ, and guess what happened? They're going to watch everything burn, just like Lot did. That's a sad case. Y'all don't want that to happen. Why? You don't realize. Some people say, yeah, you believe eternal security. You believe that if somebody gets saved, do whatever they want to. Let me tell you something. There's a judgment seat of Christ coming for the Christian. You got to remember, there's a judgment coming. Yes, your sins are judged at Calvary, but you got to realize there what sort. The Bible said of what sort it is. There's going to be some that gets gold, silver, and precious stones. That's things that you had to dig down to get. Gold, silver, and precious stones is dig down. Yes, that's work. That's just on your work. Guess what? Wood, hay, and stubble, guess what? That's all surface. That's all in the flesh. What you did in the flesh, the Bible calls it dead works. You served a corpse. This corpse is a dead man. Anything you do with the motive of self is all going to burn up. Only what's done for Christ will last. It's a famine, yes, for hearing. And guess what? We're suffering for it as a nation. People say, well, what's wrong with this nation? Easy, easy. Sin. The heart of a problem, heart of the problem is a problem of the heart.
You know what's happening? People have got a heart problem.
Right.
You know what the biggest problem with Christians is? They don't love Jesus Christ like they ought to.
Amen.
It's a love problem. Yeah, if anytime you check my heart, anytime I'm not serving like I ought to, I look in the mirror and I can write down my, like this right here, enemy, and circle ME. First two letters of my enemy. That's me. Who hurts the thing? You looking at him in the mirror. It's up to you, Christian. Nobody, the devil can't make you be bad, and God's not going to make you be good. You've got a free will choice to do that thing. It's up to you. And you know what happens? You've got to realize there, this man went out and stayed longer just like Lot than he ever expected. Lot said, I just pitched my tent toward Sodom, you know. Before long, he's in Sodom. Man, that's just amazing. That's just amazing. You know what's happening? Folks doing the same thing now.
Right, bro.
You know who's the king over the children of pride? Job says, the devil is the king over the children of pride. And people now will march in the street with pride. P-R-I is right in the middle. D-E-S-I is right in the middle of sin. That I right there. And we got iPhones and iPads and everything else. It's amazing, man. You know, we got eye trouble. He went out and he stayed out. Now, not only did he went out, but he dried out. The Bible says in verse number 2 there, not only did he go out, he went out there, but he continued there. He dried out. There's a process to sin. There's presentation. The devil will present you something. He'll say, isn't that good for food? Isn't it pleasant to the eye? See, he said, yes, man. He's positive. He does like this. Oh, it's wonderful. You know, that's what these modern preachers do. Isn't it wonderful? No, it's not wonderful. It's not. And guess what else he does? He says, desire to make one wise. Pride of life. And you know what happens? Eve says, yeah, sure is. You know what the first word that Satan says is yea. That's yes. You know what people have got nowadays? Ouija boards. You know what that is? That's French and that's German. Yes, yes. That's a yes, yes board. You know what the devil is? He'll tell you yes all the time. He'll give you anything you want as long as it leads you away from the Lord. What I'm saying, he continued there. Why? Because sin is addictive. It's addictive. He had a presentation there. Then you got illumination. There's still no sin in illumination. You know, she realized in Genesis 3, she realizes, hey, there's going to be some consequences to this. That's illumination. Still no sin. But you know where the sin comes in? In the debate. You can't win a debate with the devil.
That's right.
That's why the Lord Jesus told you in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4 to whip him with the Word of God. The only way you can defeat him is with the Word of God. And you know what? There's a famine. Nobody's hearing the Word of God. So guess what? Nobody's got a verse to pour out and get him with. Now, here you are in business. Can you give me 2 verses of Scripture on business? You like sports. Can you give me 2 verses of Scripture on sports? I can give you several. They're all in the Bible. Paul said, I'm not going to fight. There's one being there. There's your one right there. He said, I'll run a race. There's all kind of verses on it. Now what I'm saying is this right here. If we're so scriptural we believe the Bible, how much Bible have you got for what you believe? If somebody asks you and says, why do you believe what you believe? Can you take your Bible and show them? I just believe it because the preacher believes. Why does the preacher believe? He believes what I believe. Well, what do y'all believe? We all believe the same thing. That's what people are. They don't know. What I'm saying, that man dried out. Not only did he dry out, but he died out. He went out, he dried out, and he died out. Now you know what the Bible says here in 1 Timothy 5:6? But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. I wrote down the margin, zombies. Just people, she's walking around, but she's dead. You know what I think about some of these people? They look like the fool. But they're not. You ever seen those sad commercials on the television? And this little kid's sitting there, and he's skinny all over, but he's got this belly just poking straight out like this right here. And you think that kid's full. He's not full. He's malnourished. You know what happens? So many people nowadays look like they're full. They look like they're really full. They have learned the flowery language. They've learned how to speak the things of God without being close to God. Yeah, bless you, brother. Bless you, Jesus. You know. Now look, there's nothing wrong with saying there's a blessing. Nothing wrong with using that language. But do you really mean what you're saying? All to Jesus I surrender. Well, have you surrendered anything? You got to go out the devil and just get right back, turn the rock music up, get right back on the devil vision and everything else, and do anything you want to do. All to Jesus. And here's Jesus saying, now 5 minutes ago, all to Jesus I surrender. Just beautiful, beautiful. All to Thee I really give. And the Lord says, could you give me 2 or 3 minutes of prayer tonight? And we wonder why people go out and they dry out and they die. Whose fault? It's not God's fault. It's God. God wants, what I'm trying to tell you is, you got God there, and you can get all the God you want. All the joy you want is available to you. All the happiness you want is available. But you know what happens? We blame God for things we're not even doing. Y'all heard the story about the couple that are going down the road, you know? Old man and woman, they've been married about 52 years. Here they are, and the woman says, you know, we used to sit side by side. And he said, I'm still in the same place I'm in. You're the one that moved on. You know what happens? God's still there. He hasn't changed a bit. If we're not as close to God as we were a week ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, God's still there. We're the ones that moved. What I'm saying is this man went out, why? Because something happened, a famine for hearing, he stopped hearing the Word of God, and him and his whole family went out. What he did, you don't sin to yourself. What you do, everything you do has an effect on someone else. No man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. What you do is going to have an effect on somebody else. You don't know who looks up to you. There's somebody out there. Everybody in this room has got somebody that loves you and somebody looks up to you. And you don't realize. That's why we got to stay in prayer, stay in fellowship. Why? Because they would love to have an excuse just to go out and do whatever. Go out and dry out and do the same thing. So you see this thing here. Notice the time. Not only that, but notice when she turned. Man, this is a blessing right here. There's a process of coming back. Verse number 6 talks about, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people and given them bread. You'll notice she turned when she heard. Thank God she heard from a witnessing believer. You know what the Bible tells people out there? That they're lost. They're lost. They can't understand the things you understand. Why the natural man receiveth not, because they foolishness unto him. They can't receive the things of God. So guess what they got to do? They got to get the gospel before they can even understand anything else. Amen. So if something's lost yet, you got to go out and do something about it. We're in here, now don't get me wrong. Somebody might be lost in here, I don't know. I don't know that. So if you're lost in here today, today is the day of salvation. Amen. But for the most part, church, the local church is for saved people to get here to learn the Word of God and go out. Yeah. Go out and do something Amen. About it. Amen. What I'm saying is when you stop, when the church stops, and they just sit in their own little monastery, you know, and they sit there and say, I'm sitting on my own little hill here, and the whole world can just go to hell. That's what you're saying. We wouldn't say that for nothing in this world. But guess what happened? What if I had the cure for cancer in my right pocket? Y'all probably heard the illustration. And all these cancer patients all around, I've got the cure in my pocket, but I want to go down there and tell somebody about it. Now y'all would say, what a horrible, wicked person you are. What of a horrible, wicked person you are if you got the gospel.
Come on.
And you won't even tell somebody.
Yeah, that's right.
Now you know what happens? This is what's going on in America. We've got people going over. We're sending people to Belize. We're sending people to Africa. And we're sending people to all these other countries, China. And we're getting up here. Yeah, we're super spiritual. We're sending, and we send 100,000 over here. We send 1,000 of that nowhere. But you don't even know your neighbor.
Come on.
Well, have you witnessed to the person down the street? No, you know, I might make them mad. You know what? To me, in my book now, I guess I've got scripture for it, but I'm not preaching on that subject. But let me tell you, people who think they're spiritual, who would go somewhere to another country and witness where nobody knows them.
Yeah.
Not hurting your reputation there.
Right.
But you won't go right down the street. Why? What happened? You're scared your reputation is going to be hurt, aren't you? Now, you know what happens there? The Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ Himself made Himself of no reputation. And we're supposed to be followers of Christ. What I'm saying is most people think they're spiritual. But they're not spiritual. Why? They want to have the facade. In American Christianity, I'm just saying America because I am one. Thank God for this country, yeah, but I'm telling you something, this country's going to pot. Why? Because people stop witnessing. You're going to see a time, and it's already happening now. We can prove it. And right, people are sending missionaries here. Why? Because guess what happened? People stopped. In the book of Acts, the apostles were supposed to start in Jerusalem. They were supposed to go out in the whole world, and they were staying there in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 8, and guess what happened? God sent a man, Saul. And he went down there and stirred them up. They had persecution to shatter them out. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if something bad happened to America. That wouldn't mean we're going through the Great Tribulation either. Why, that just means America is getting what comes to a nation that rejects God. Every single other nation, you put it down, that has rejected God has got judgment that's coming to it. Now, what I'm telling you is this right here, as Christians. Our job is this right there. There's a lot of people down in Moab. Someone came down to Moab. I just know that somebody said that there's some lost people down there. I'm going to go down and I'm going to tell them bread is in Moab. And guess what happened? They went down there and witnessed, and she said, we need to get back with bread. You know what this world needs to realize? This world needs to realize you're so full of joy, you're so full of God, and you love the Lord, and you just want to see people get out of Moab and get out of dry, burned wasteland and come back and serve God. What a joy it is. There's a man sitting right on this front row. He knows, man, what it's like. We've been in Moab together, but it is a blessing, brother. We're here together, and we get to praise God. Man, I tell you what, living testimony of what God can do. Amen. God can get you out of an old place out there that's going nowhere. Just a dead end road. And bring you up here, man, with fellowship, with believers. And guess what happened? Something that's eternal. Something that's everlasting. My friend, she went down there and witnessed somewhere to someone in Moab. She heard from another believer. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't have time to go over it a lot, but this lifestyle evangelism, I got to tell you about this thing. I've heard people say, I'm just living so holy. One of these days, somebody's going to come up to me and they're going to say, I want to know about your Jesus. Now listen, that's what that's called, lifestyle evangelism. How many people in here have been living so holy that somebody just come up and said, I just want to know about your Jesus? It might have happened, not often. Not often. You know what the Bible says? We're supposed to be holding forth the word of life. The light is on the inside of us. But the Bible says, I'm full of darkness. So guess what happens? For the light to get out, I've got to open my mouth, the lamp under my feet, and the light on my path. The Word of God is light. And you've got to open your mouth and speak to someone for the light to even shine. Why? I don't have any light of my own self. The only light I have is Jesus Christ. So as you witness about Jesus Christ and to others, the light comes out. That's how the world gets the light. Not because you're walking around, you don't have the glory of yourself.
Amen.
We get that. That's boastful. That's pride right there. To think that you're so holy, somebody's just going to see you on the other side of the room and say, wow, what a saint. My. And we wonder why people aren't getting saved. She had a hunger. Not only did she hear from a witnessing believer, she had a hunger for the bread. Thank God she was hungry. Tonight, let me ask you something. Truly, are you hungry?
Come on.
Are you hungry for the bread? Let me read a couple of scriptures to you that just bless my heart. And he said, well, how do you get a blessing out of that? Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, if you want to be filled, hunger and thirst after righteousness. But guess what the Bible said? Luke 6:25, woe. When the Bible says woe, you better stop. That's serious. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. If you're full in this world right here, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be hungry. You know what happens? People eat the junk food all the time of this world and they wonder why they're not hungry for the Bible. Let me tell you something. You read Romans chapter 1 and you see that progression in Romans chapter 1. You wonder how they got so bad. And you'll read in Romans chapter 1 that they emptied themselves of anything that had anything to do with God. How they get in such a state that they got in, they emptied themselves. That's why the Bible tells you to be full of the Holy Spirit. Now look, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're walking close to Jesus. Now, if I'm walking close to Jesus, it's hard for things to get in between us, right? Now, you know what happens? People want to just hold hands with Jesus out here like this right here and kick out with the word and put their, you know, like this right here. And they wonder how things get in between them and the Lord. That's a picture there. And there was this one lady, and she was up here at the mall, and she had this kid, man. She had this kid on a leash, serious. And she... jerking that kid over here like that. You know, and keep jerking that kid like a dog. You know what you're finding out right there? That's how the Lord's having to do a whole lot of folks. The Lord's had to jerk you back and jerk you back and jerk you back. That's a picture right there of how the Lord has to do people. You ever seen that? Next time you'll think the same thing. And man, He has to jerk us around. Man, you think about this. I'll move on, we'll close. But I'm going to say this right here, folks. There's a thing, it's called the parting of the way. I don't know if you've ever heard this before. But there was a gentleman there talking to his buddy. And he sees a man here and a dog in the middle and a man here. And they said, man, that sure is a nice dog. Right there. I wonder who owns that dog. Which one of them fellas owns the dog? And the older gentleman says, we're about to find out here in just a minute. He said, how are you going to find out? He said, at the split of the road up here, whoever the dog goes with, you'll find out. And whenever the road veered right, the dog went right with the man he owned, and the other man went the other way. Now, you want to find out who your master is. You find out at the split of the road in between left and right, and when you go with the Lord, you can find out who you're serving. Who is your master? You can't serve two masters. Now, like I said, you may say you're saved, but who are you serving? Who are you following at the split of the road? What I'm saying, there's a part of the way, and all you got to do is examine yourselves, like the Bible says, and see who you're following at the split of the way.
Right.
You'll find out who your master is. Maybe you'll come home. Now the last thing is this, notice her testimony. Verse number 19, she does return. She does return, thank God. But you'll notice something, there's disgrace there. There's disgrace. Now hang on with me now, the story gets better. I believe in a negative first and a positive. The gospel's two-thirds negative. Christ died and He was buried. That's negative. But He was risen again. So the positive outweighs the negative. But you got to get the negative charge first. There's disgrace. They said in verse 19, is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? You know, if there's a saying, sinew and blood or a thin veil of lace. What you wear on the heart, you'll wear on your face. There's a thing called countenance. And you know what sin will do to you? Sin will make you have a bad countenance. It really will. I've seen people get saved and a year later, man, you see their face. And it's just like like a bright light on the inside. See, the light of the body is the eye. And the eye are the windows to the soul. And you can see on the inside, something's changed.
Amen.
And some of these people, they've had to force a smile so long, it's just like those wrinkles. And man, it's just ugly. Why, sin's ugly. You know, I'll tell you this right here. You know, one of the ugliest sights in my personal, I'm just going to be honest with you. One of the ugliest sights I've ever seen is an old person who's been serving sin and they're sitting there and just so mad at the world and everything. They're just sitting there mad. But on the same token, you know what the most beautiful sight I've ever seen? Is an old person that loves the Lord.
Yeah.
It's something about that face. It's something about the light of that eye. My granny, man, she died at 97, and I used to go down there, and she'd have her King James Bible sitting in her lap, and I'd go down there and I'd say, Granny, how you doing? She'd say, wonderful. Just wonderful. And with the way she said it, with those bright eyes, I knew she meant it. Why? She knew where she was going.
Amen.
She knew where she was going. They said, is this Naomi? Yes, sin will put disgrace on you, it will. But there's a good thing coming. Not only will sin do that, but sin will lead to depression. She said, call me Mara. Call me Mara. The Lord didn't call her Mara. She called herself Mara. You know whose fault depression is a lot of times? Now look, I know there's chemical imbalances. I believe that. But you know what happens? The smallest package is a man or a woman wrapped in themselves.
Right.
When you get selfish, you will get so depressed. You'll just get yourself down.
Right.
You gotta let the Lord get you upbeat. Let the Lord lift you up and you'll be lifted up. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. She said, call me Mara. You know what the Bible says? In Exodus 15:23, and when they came to Mara, they could not drink of the waters of Mara, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Mara. Mara just means bitterness. You haven't learned the Bible through cross reference. Now look here. That's poison. Now listen to this verse, tie them two together. She said, call me Mara. Proverbs 18:4 says, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters. Deep waters. She said, call me Mara. Guess what her words were doing? Words are like water. And the Bible says Mara is like bitter waters. Some people are so bitter, their bitterness just poisons everybody else's water.
Yeah.
You know what happens? If you don't get rid of that root of bitterness, and the only way to get rid of that root of bitterness is to plant a new root, and the Bible calls Jesus Christ the root of Jesse. The only way to get rid of that root is to come to Jesus Christ and give Him whatever is bothering you and say, Lord, I'm leaving it with you. Only you can help me, Lord. And He'll help you. But you know what happens? That bitterness, if you don't get rid of that bitterness, it's going to poison others around you. And it doesn't. And it's so sad to see that. But there's hope for you. There's hope for you. Now think about this too. Right here. There's deliverance in verse number 21. There's deliverance. She said in verse number 21, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and I read too far down. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then you call me Naomi? Seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. But she said, the Lord hath brought me home. Guess what happens there? You're going to find out that the Lord has got deliverance there, but guess what happens? She said, the Almighty hath afflicted me. Now, in her mind, in closing, I want to show you something. Turn to Psalm 119. I want you to see this in your Bible. Sometimes you're going to find out that something that the Lord allowed to happen in your life, you think, man, this thing is terrible, this thing is awful, and everything. How can anybody get any glory out of this thing? What is God even doing with this thing right here? I'll tell you something. Psalm 119.
She said, the Almighty hath afflicted me. You know what? Sometimes God will hide a blessing in something. Psalms 119, verse number 71. David said this, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? He said, it's good that I might learn thy statutes.
She said, the Almighty brought me back afflicted. She didn't realize that the whole thing, she learned something. You know what the Bible says about the Scriptures? They're written for your learning and for your admonition. Why? Through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. We might learn something. Why? So we can help somebody else. You know what we have here in the Scriptures? We've got an example of somebody who learned it, who learned something through affliction. Why? So we don't have to do it. Now look, if you're not out here in your perfect fellowship tonight, great, stay there. Stay there. Why? So you can get a prayer, so you can help somebody else. But tonight, let me say this right here. You can learn something from what you've done, but don't stay there. Tonight, won't you come home? Won't you let tonight be the night? So let me say you something. I'm going to start tonight serving God like I've never served Him before. Starting tonight, I'm going to start reading my Bible like I know I'm supposed to. I'm going to start praying like I'm supposed to. I'm going to start praying with my spouse like I'm supposed to. We're going to have a family altar like I'm supposed to. Whatever I say, family time in the Word of God. Families need the Word of God. They need to see you serving God and that it's real in your life. Man, tonight. Say, man, I'm going to start tonight. And we're living in just a rebellious time today as they were then. They were living in the times of the judges. Don't let what you've done in the past determine your future. When the devil reminds you of your past, just remind him where he's going. Straight to hell one day. And man, we'll get to see it. Won't that be a blessing? Tonight, won't you let the Lord tonight say, hey, Lord, from now on, I want to serve you, but I need your help to do it. Won't you do it tonight? Let's go to the Lord in prayer.